now, and I'm thankful for what the Lord is going to do. I do have a word this morning that the Lord has dealt with my heart. So if you have the Bible, we are going to go to multiple different places, but we're going to start in Luke chapter 11, verse number 9. Luke 11, verse 9. We're also going to go, which it'll all be on the screen, but we're going to go to Mark 11, 24 and a few other places as well. Starting in Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And if you're able to, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse number 9, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you." Very familiar scripture. Mark 11, verse number 24. Mark chapter 11, verse number 24. The Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Amen. 2 Chronicles 7, 14, another familiar scripture. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7, 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, only then, will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." How many knows we need a healing in our land? Lastly, Ezekiel 22, verse number 30, to me, one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. The Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." This morning, on this opening service of revival, I want to preach on the thought of, "I will if you will." Let's pray in this house. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for bringing us together this morning. I thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. Thank you for every song that was sung that uplifted you, Lord. God, I pray that you anoint this message. God, anoint this vessel of clay to bring forth the word that you placed in my spirit. God, I pray you save, deliver, heal, strengthen, encourage this morning, challenge your people, draw us closer. God, we need revival. We need revival. We need a moving of your spirit, and we ask it to be done in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord this morning. It was 2020, actually, when COVID first came around. And everything at this point, I don't even remember what month it was, but when everything shut down and the only thing that was open was the grocery stores and certain things, and everything was shut down. You couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't do anything. I remember I was praying one morning, and my heart, for as long as I can remember, has been so burdened to see old-fashioned revival. I was raised very old school as it gets. And I remember as a child, so many times I would see how God would move. I remember as a kid, I seen the dead get up. I remember as a kid, I seen people walk out of wheelchairs. It was not rare to see a devil casted out in service. I remember as a kid, all these things. I remember when I was young, people would come in the back door, and as soon as they came, open the doors, they would shout up the aisle, and we would just have revival services all the time. And I would see as a young kid all these things, God moving, the miraculous power of God healing, delivering, blinded eyes open in services. And I began to pray when I got older, because I felt like we weren't seeing what we should be seeing anymore. And I got so burdened, God, we need revival. There's young people that's never seen blinded eyes open. We need revival. There's young people that's never seen the dead get up. We need revival. There's young people that's never seen an alcoholic walk in the middle of service and give his life to the Lord. We need revival. And I began to pray that morning during our shutdown, lockdown for COVID. And I began to seek the face of God and said, God, we need revival for our young people. We need revival in the middle age, and we need revival in our elders and our saints. We need a move of God like never before in this land. And I remember as the Lord began to bring these verses to my heart, he began to speak to me so clearly in my spirit. And he said, "Jeremiah, I will if you will." And the more I begin to think about that, Pastor, I was, what do you mean you will? And I begin to read this scripture in 2 Chronicles. If my people, which are called by my name, if they will do all these things, turn from their wicked ways, if they would pray, then I will. And then I went to Luke and it says, if you ask, it'll be given. If you seek, you will find. If it knocks, it shall be open. And I learned real quick, we want revival. And he's speaking to me, and he was speaking to me that morning. And he says, I will send it, but there's some stuff you've got to do. I don't believe there's a God in heaven that looks down and says, I don't want to bless my people. I don't want to send revival. I don't want to baptize in the Holy Ghost. I believe God is in heaven and he wants to pour out his spirit like never before. I believe there's not one person he wants to baptize with the Holy Ghost. I believe he wants to heal. I believe he wants to see deliverance. And I believe in these last days, if there's ever been a time that we need to see that, it's now. But that puts something on us. There's some things we've got to do. Because he told me, he said, I will do this, but there's some things you got to do too. And if there's anything that COVID did bring to the church, it brought a realization as who's got it and who doesn't. And it should bring to the church, and what has been sad to me is that a couple years later, after the first shutdown, the churches should still be full. They should be packed out. But for some reason, people slowly got back to how it used to be, and we can't get back to how it used to be. I want you to listen to this real quick, and I'm going to get into my message. I won't hold you long. I'll do my best not to hold you long. When Hudson Taylor was sailing to China to begin his missionary work, his ship was in great danger. The wind had died, and the current was carrying them towards sunken reefs, which were close to islands inhabited by cannibals. So close they could see them building fires on the shore. Everything they tried was to no avail. In his journal, Hudson Taylor recorded what happened next. The captain said to me, well, we have done everything that can be done. A thought then occurred to me, Hudson replied. There is one thing we have not done yet. What is that? He questioned. Four of us on board of this ship are Christians. Let us each retire to his own cabin and agree in prayer, asking the Lord for an immediate breeze. Hudson Taylor prayed briefly and then, certain that the answer was coming, went up on the deck and asked the first officer to let down the sails. What would be good of that? The officer answered. I told him we had been praying for a wind from God and that it was coming immediately. Within minutes, the wind began to blow and it carried them safely past the coral reefs. Hudson Taylor wrote in his journal that morning, thus God encouraged me when landing on the shores of China to bring every variety of need to him in prayer and to expect that he would honor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give help in each emergency required. I love what he put that when he said, encouraged me that when I bring every variety of need to him in prayer and to expect that he would honor the name of his son Jesus and answer the prayer. I feel like a lot of times we have got to the place where we say, if thy will be done, well, it is his will for people to be healed. It is his will for people to be born again. It is his will for us to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not a question of, well, if it's his will for them to be saved. Absolutely not. It is the will of God that everybody should be saved. Hear me this morning. If the church will not pray, God will not act. God will never go over the head of his church to enforce any decision. We need to be a people of prayer. And if there's ever been a time I feel so strongly in my spirit that the church needs to pray, it's now. And we need to be a people of prevailing prayer. What is prevailing, Jeremiah, you ask? Prevailing, I want you to listen to this definition. Prevailing is to be or become effective or effectual. As the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But this is what I want to preach on. Another definition of prevailing is to use persuasion successfully. To persuade the hand of God when you pray. You don't believe that we can persuade the hand of God? There's some of you that shouldn't be here this morning if it wasn't for a grandmother who persuaded the hand of God over your life. There's some of you who shouldn't be. You should have died in that car wreck, or you should have died from those drugs, or you should have been lost way 6 feet under the ground. But you had a mom in the middle of the night that woke up at 3 a.m. and persuaded the hand of God over your life. And if there's ever been a time in the nation we live in that we need people to persuade the hand of God over our nation, over our children, over our grandchildren, it's today. It's no longer "now I lay me down to sleep" prayers. No, it's persuading the hand of God. God, if you don't move, God, if you don't deliver, God, if you don't save, we need to be people of prevailing prayer. I'm going to take you from Genesis to Revelation as quick as possible to explain this real quick. The prevailing prayer of faith is Abraham. When he stood before the Lord and said, "Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Abraham moved in on God and said, "You will not destroy the righteous with the wicked." God did not repel Abraham. He didn't distance himself from Abraham, but Abraham stood. And as long as he stood, he received. His heart touched God's heart. And the Bible says God remembered Lot for Abraham's sake. For Abraham's sake, God spared Lot. Why? Because Abraham moved in and said, "God, I know there's a lot of wickedness, but if you could just, if there just be 10 that be righteous, if there just be 50 that be righteous, would you spare the land?" He persuaded the hand of God. It is Moses, a leader of Israel, who interceded with God for a backslidden, disobedient, rebellious Israel. God told Moses, "Leave me alone. My wrath has waxed hot against thee, that I might consume them. I will make of thee, Moses, a great nation, but I will destroy them." Moses fell down on his face, and for 40 days and nights he fasted. He said, "I'll neither eat nor drink. Forgive their sins, God, or never mind me. Blot me out of your promise. I don't want a promotion. Forgive them or forget about me." Moses said, "Put me out of your promise. Put me out of your covenant. Blot me, I pray thee, out of the book that thou hast written. I'm not going anywhere. If you have to destroy Israel, you'll have to destroy me too." He said, "I'm standing here. God, forgive Israel of their sins." Church, it is in our hands today. Church of the living God. Moses prevailed, and because he prevailed, Israel triumphed. This is confirmed in later years also when it said, "Therefore, he said that he would not destroy them if Moses, his chosen, did not stand before him in the breach to turn away his wrath." I ask you this morning, who is going to stand in the gap for our city? Who is going to stand in the gap for our nation? Who is going to stand in the gap for our children? Church, we don't need another series of revival services. We don't need another normal Sunday morning, a normal Sunday night, and a 3-day revival. We need an absolute move of God in this generation. We don't need good singing and good preaching and everybody go home. No, we need to go back where we carry them out in the Spirit, because revival has broken loose. We need where we can't even get past the first song because souls are coming to the altar. We can't do church as normal anymore because people are going to hell. Our nation's going to hell. And we need somebody who's going to have prevailing prayer of faith. We need somebody who's going to step up and say, "No, it can't be like this anymore. It can't be like this anymore. Something's got to change." Prevailing prayer of faith is Joshua when he lifted his spear toward the setting sun and said, "Sun, stand thou still." That's prevailing prayer of faith. I think it's crazy, but it's prevailing prayer of faith. It is Elijah when he said to King Ahab, "According to my word, there will be no rain or dew in the space of 3.5 years. I'll shut up the heavens and I'll bend you if I have to." For 3.5 years, it did not rain because a man of God stated and prayed, "I will shut up the heavens." That is prevailing prayer of faith. It is Elisha when he said to Elijah, I must have a double portion of your spirit. If there's ever been a generation that we need a double portion of the power of God, I've heard it all my life, let's get back to what grandma had. I don't want what grandma had. I've got to have more than what grandma had. I've got to have more than what grandpa had. I need a double portion. You're going to have to ignore me. I get real excited when I preach. I am old school Pentecost, so I scream and yell and run and jump and sweat, and I apologize ahead of time. We need prevailing prayer of faith. It is Hezekiah, when he turned his face to the wall and stared death in the face, saying, go home, death, I'm not ready to die. 15 years were added to his life. When is the last time we prayed like that? When is the last time we had such prevailing prayer of faith like that? Prevailing, I want you to hear, if you hear anything I preach, hear this right here. History can be both made and changed by the prevailing prayer of faith. I'm going to say that again because I should have got a better response. History can be both made and changed by the prevailing prayer of faith. Some of you, as I stated earlier, shouldn't be here, but somebody prayed. History, if you don't like the things that are going on in your family and in your life, there is one solution. Get on your knees and pray prevailing prayer of faith. Persuade the hand of God in your direction. Let me tell a quick testimony before I continue on in my message. My sister, raised in the same household as I was, raised in the same church as I was when she was a teenager, she got with the wrong crowd, Pastor. And at 16 years old, she left with some friends for a birthday party. And I'll never forget it. We couldn't find where she was that night. The next morning, she comes home, and you could tell somebody been drinking. And I thought my dad was going to kill her. And from that night, she strayed and ran as far as she could from God. Ran as far as she could from the things of God, knowing she was called, such a beautiful voice, called to sing, called into the ministry. She ran at 16 years old and ran far. She's 36 now, I think, roughly. I should know that by heart, but I don't. She's roughly 36 now, in prison for 5 years for drugs. She has 5 kids from different men. And they're spread amongst our family trying to raise them. But prevailing prayer of faith. I remember, Pastor, when God spoke to me this message in 2020, I got down to pray, and I never had so much conviction on my heart about my sister than that morning. I got down because if I'm going to be honest, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, I would pray for my sister daily for salvation. Does anybody have any lost loved ones in the house? Raise your hand. Then maybe you can relate to me. I would get down and pray, Pastor, and because I felt like everything was just getting worse, that she just kept going farther and there was no hope, I would pray, but I would pray more like, God, save my sister, and then I'd move on. It would just be a normal prayer. I would pray as normal. I would say her name in the book that I have that lists people that need to be saved. I would just say her name and move on. And that morning, conviction hit my heart. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord speak to me and had me pray prevailing prayer of faith, persuading prayer of faith. I got down in my prayer closet that morning, and I did this right here. And I said, God, I'm standing in the gap between heaven and hell for my sister. It's no more, and now I lay me down to sleep, save my sister, God, and go to sleep. No, God, I need you to save my sister. She needs deliverance because I don't know how much longer we're going to be here, and I do not want my sister to go to hell. And that morning changed the way I prayed for my sister. And every time after that, I would go to prayer, and I would do this crazy stance. And I'd say, God, again this morning, I'm standing between heaven and hell for the salvation of my sister. I know this sounds crazy, and it's okay. Don't come to my prayer times because it is a little crazy. But I would say, God, whatever you do, don't come back today because my sister's not born again yet. And I'd pray and I'd get up the next morning. I'd do the same thing. I say, God, I know I'm ready to go, but don't come back today because my sister still is not ready to go. And I prayed that way and I prayed that way. And then when she got thrown in prison, later of last year, the end of last year, my family was devastated. But I'll never forget the day that she called me from prison. And she said, Bub, and my sister and I never had a close relationship because she got out of church when she was 16 and I was younger. So we just never hung out really. And she said, Bub, she said, I was in my cell the other day and a woman from a local church was doing a little service. And she said she was heading out to leave when she stopped by my cell. And she said she stopped and looked at me and she said, I don't ever do this. And I don't know who you are, but the Spirit of God stopped me right in my tracks. And she said, I want you to know He still loves you. And she began to cry. And she said, she came into my cell. And I told her that I was a backslidden girl raised in a Pentecostal church. And that woman was Holy Ghost filled. She opened up the Bible and began to pray with my sister. She said, Bub, I gave my heart back to the Lord today. Hear me, I'm not done. Praise God. That was in latter part of last year. Since then, God is so good. Since then, she calls me at least once a week. She messages my wife on some email thing they have set up in the prison. I don't really know much about it. Weekly, she'll give me a call and she'll update me. And the latest update, she said, Bub, I started a Bible study in my jail cell. And I've got 5 girls coming to my Bible study in my jail cell. She says, I don't know a whole lot. She said, but I just open the Bible and start reading. And she said, did you know this happened to Jonah? And did you know this happened? I didn't. She said, I never really paid much attention in Sunday school, but did you know this happened to Moses? And I'm on the other end saying, praise God for prevailing prayer of faith. 20 years, 5 kids from different men. Drugs, alcohol, parties, life is a wreck. She doesn't even look the same way she did 20 years ago. But all I do know is when we pray persuasion prayers to God, He begins to move. Woo! I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but it's about time we change the way we pray. There's too many going to hell. There's too many bound. We need revival. And it is not good enough to get down and say, oh God, send revival. Oh God, help Ukraine. Oh God, no. We need to stand in the gap and pray until our knees begin to hurt. We need to stand in the gap until revival comes. Hallelujah. I've heard, oh, well, let's see if she makes it when she gets out of prison. The devil is a liar. I said, the devil is a liar. Hear me, folks. God wants to send revival, but He cannot send revival if He don't have a vessel through revival to flow through. I don't want to hear, and I'm thankful. All my life, I've heard how it used to be, Pastor. I've heard growing up, I'll go visit my grandmother, which I love to visit her, but the whole time I hear how it used to be. I'm tired of hearing how it used to be. We got young people that need to see it now. We got middle-aged people that need to see it now. We need revival. He said, I will if you will. Are you willing this morning? I told you I should have preached something different. But we need revival. My heart's so burdened for revival. I work at a Christian school, and I don't know, Brother Greg, if you have these issues here, but at a Christian school, we have so many kids bound. So many kids, especially even in our elementary, so many kids that come from situations that when I was a kid was unheard of. They're raised by this one because this one's gone or this one's gone. And we have so many kids in our Christian school. They don't need normal chapel. They don't need normal church. They need revival because they go home to places that I never had to go home to. They need revival. Prevailing prayer of faith. As I stated, history can be both made and changed. And I question, I've asked myself, would that have happened to my sister? Would she really got born again if I chose to pray the same way I've always prayed? It is Jehoshaphat leading the way and calling the whole nation of Israel to repentance. It is praying, fasting, worshiping, prevailing prayer of faith. It is God dramatically intervening in the entire invading army, destroying themselves without a single weapon, a victory without a natural battle, prevailing prayer of faith. It is Esther, her maidens, and the Jews in the Shushan palace fasting for 72 hours. Her nation was appointed for extermination. Esther's prayer with the surrendering of her will and her life to God was stirring. If I perish, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to sit down until I get it. I'm not going to stop in my terminology. I'm not giving up. If I perish, I can't endure this. I cannot, as Esther was saying, I cannot see my people destroyed. I refuse to see the destruction of my people, and I must save my people no matter the cost. I'm just going to stand here and hang in there, and I'm going to knock on the door of heaven until he answers my prayer. I don't know when it stopped, and I don't know what generation or what time, but if there's ever been a time, we need to knock and keep knocking. Don't stop knocking. 20 years is a long time to pray for the salvation of my sister. I'm not going to lie, Pastor, there were probably some times that I didn't knock as much as I should have. But the minute we stop knocking is the minute he won't answer. But he said, if my people, if they would knock, the door would be open. Now, he didn't say, if you knock a year or 2 years or a day, he said, knock. I don't know what the situation is in your life. I don't know who you have that may be lost. I don't know what situation's going on. All I do know is whatever you do, do not stop knocking on the door. If you have to camp outside the gates of heaven, do not stop knocking on the door. Why? Because he is not a God that lies. And he said, if you do knock, I will open the door. We need to knock again for revival. Say, we need to knock again for revival. And we need to knock harder. And we need to knock louder than we've ever knocked before. Because we need revival. You know what happened to Esther? The whole balance of power within the Persian Empire was reversed. The law of the Medes and Persians were changed. The Jews were delivered and promoted while their enemies were defeated, destroyed, and humiliated. Why? Because one woman would not stop knocking. One woman said, I will not see my people destroyed. I will knock until you answer. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you watch the news. I don't. I hate the news. But I do see it all the time on Facebook. Our people in America, we need to knock for them because destruction's coming and it's already here. And if we don't have churches that are knocking for revival, I'm thankful we have hope because the Bible says in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, but I'm going to let you know only to those that will. He will if you will. And you better believe we'll have revival and it'll pass you right up if you're not willing to step in the river. Prevailing prayer of faith. I didn't come this week to be normal. I didn't come this week to preach good sermons and we go home and say, man, that was good. Let's go home. No, we need revival. We need revival. We need a move of God. We need to carry him out of the building again. Drunk in the spirit. We need revival. We need where they can't even get in their cars because they're dancing in the parking lot again. We need revival. Woo! It is Hannah who takes the foremost place among women for her fervency in prayer in the entire Old Testament. Hannah's prayer became a classic because it revealed the true ingredients of prevailing, travailing, and intercessory prayer. The highest type of prayer known to believers. She was barren, embarrassed, mocked, grieved, reproached, disgraced, brokenhearted, but Hannah prayed anyways. She prayed until there was not a sound left in her body. All the wind was knocked out of her. All her strength was gone, but she kept on praying. Her lips just moved, pouring out her soul before the Lord. She stood in the gap until through her came the answer. Is there anybody that'll pray like that again? Is there anybody that'll stand in the gap like that again? Is there anybody that is willing to say, I will be the one to do it again? It is Rachel crying, give me children or I'll die. Then she bore Joseph and Benjamin. How long has it been since you prayed that way? That's crazy. Who says that? God, give me children or I'll die. Give me children or just kill me. That's crazy, prevailing prayer of faith. Ezekiel, who said God wants to spare you, Israel, as we read at the beginning. Even in a time of national apostasy and conspiracy, God wants to spare you, Israel, if only he can find somebody that'll stand in the gap. If only I can find somebody. But he said, Ezekiel, I sought for one and I could not find him. Therefore, I have to pour out my indignation upon them. He said, I didn't want to. I tried to find somebody that would stand in the gap. I didn't want to destroy them. I didn't want to pour out my indignation on them, but I could not find nobody. I wish somebody would have gotten my way. Where was the Moses? Where was the Abraham? I wish somebody would get in my path so I wouldn't destroy that person. I wish somebody would get in my way so I wouldn't destroy that city. Are you the one? Will you get in his way this morning? Will you stand between heaven and hell for that individual? Will you stand in hell between heaven and hell for Ukraine? Will you stand between heaven and hell for the nation of America? Hallelujah. Prevailing prayer of faith. It is Joel saying, gather the people, assemble the elders, gather the children. Let the bridegroom come out of his chamber. Let the bride come out of her closet. Let the preachers again weep between the porch and the altar. It is Ezra weeping and pulling his hair until he pulled his nation back on course. Listen to this. It is Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who cried out, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. We need an old-fashioned shaking. We need an old-fashioned prayer meeting. You know, I thought, Pastor, what if? I didn't because I wanted to continue on this week and not be kicked out. But I thought, what if I got up here and said the Lord would just have us to have a prayer meeting the rest of this service? Sadly, a lot of people would left. They would prayed a couple minutes and left. But if there's ever been a time that we don't need any more singing, I love beautiful anointed singing. And we don't need much beautiful anointed preaching. We need a prayer meeting. It's now. We have revivals, and I don't know where in it left, but we sing for an hour, we preach for an hour, and we pray 10 minutes in the altar and go home. That's backwards. Something's messed up. Because singing doesn't bring revival. Preaching doesn't bring revival. Us praying brings revival. I'm going to go past that. But it's in the prayer meeting the church renews her strength, in the prayer meeting where revival comes. In spite of all our modern gadgets, the single most powerful weapon and need in 2022 is still prayer. It was the single most powerful weapon 1,000 years ago, and it still is the single most powerful weapon today. Hear me. I'm almost done if somebody wants to come to the piano. It is the kind of praying John Knox did when he prayed all night in agonizing tones and said, "Lord, give me Scotland or take my life." He took Scotland, and he lived to see the death of Queen Mary, who said these words, "I fear that man's prayers more than all the armies of England." A man with prevailing prayer of faith. It is Evan Roberts, a young coal miner who spent agonizing days and nights in prayer to bring on one of the greatest revivals known to this world. There has been great awakenings without much preaching. There have been great revivals without any organization. And there have been true awakenings, but there's never been a true awakening. There has never been a true revival without much prayer. The days of Luther, Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, Finney, Moody, the Welsh or Azusa Street Revival, the beginning of the latter reign at the turn of the century, were all characterized by a power of prevailing prayer. They began with prayer and they ended because of neglect of prayer. Hear me. The good news is this, church. The eyes of the Lord is still running to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong through somebody. Obviously, he's not done with us yet because we're still here. That lets me know he still wants to send revival. He still wants to send revival. Now, I know I'm young. I turned the drudgery 30 this year. Pray for me. But I know I'm young. And I haven't seen what a lot of other people have seen. But one thing that is in this young man's heart is an outpouring of old-fashioned revival. And I have learned from Genesis to Revelation, I have learned from talking to the saints of old, it only comes one way. And that one way is prevailing prayer of faith. Let's stand across the house this morning. I ask you this morning, as the Lord spoke to me back in 2020, when he said, "Jeremiah, I will if you will." Will you this morning? When's the last time he woke you up in the middle of the night to pray? When's the last night you couldn't go to sleep because of prevailing prayer of faith? We need 10-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90-year-olds still praying the prevailing prayer of faith. I'm to the point that if revival starts with a 10-year-old girl getting filled with the Holy Ghost, walking around prophesying, then let it be done. But we need revival. If revival starts with a 99-year-old woman in the back of the church, let it be done, but we need revival. I don't care who it comes through, and I don't care how it starts. All I know is we need revival. I'm not here for the next 3 days to have good services and go home. No, I'm here for revival. I'm here for revival. I'm here for the one that needs deliverance. I'm here for the one that's not been slain in a long time. I'm here for the one that needs a refreshing and a renewing in your spirit. I'm here for the one that's never been filled. I'm here for revival, old-fashioned move of God. And this morning is where it's going to begin. This is why the Lord had me preach this morning. Because I want this, and I know people's been praying, absolutely, we've been praying. But this morning, I want us to set the atmosphere for revival to break out in this place. So much of revival that we don't know what to do next. We don't know what song to sing next. We don't even know if we should sing a song yet next. Revival that messes up the plans. Revival that messes up the organization. Revival that messes everything up. So as our sister sings this morning, I want everybody in the house to find them place in this altar. But hear me, before you come, I don't want normal now I lay me down to sleep prayer. I don't want a normal couple minute prayer and we get up and go home and enjoy our Sunday evening, afternoon, and then come back tonight. No, I want some people in this house to stand in the gap between heaven and hell. I'm not asking you to come up here and do this stance because you'll look a little crazy. But if you want to, by all means. Somebody that'll come up here. Maybe you're standing in the gap for your own family, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your parents. Maybe for the city, maybe for the nation. Maybe you have situations. But all I do know is this morning we need to pray prevailing prayer of faith. Be like Moses. Be like Abraham. Be like Joshua and knock until it opens. So all across this house this morning, if we can find our place in this altar, if you want to pray at your seat, that's fine. But let's pray prevailing prayer of faith this morning. If you're not saved, you can be born again this morning. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, I believe the Lord wants to fill you this morning. God, we need prevailing prayer of faith in the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah.